Allied Outdoor Solutions has been a show sponsor of ours in our Houston flagship market for almost 20 years now. And it's been fun because they've gone from just a handful of folks to growing and growing and growing, doing beautiful backyard solutions to make your backyard, your front yard, your side yard, your front driveway look like a resort. And over the years, they've added Austin, San Antonio, Dallas. And what the work they do, you can see it for yourself at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com or have them come do it for you. 844-846-1010. 844-846-1010.
It's that time. Time. Lock and load. The Michael Berry Show is on the air.
Tell you how easy the white people is food. You know, they all eat this damn Nutella, N-U-T-E-L-L-A, and it's supposed to be like chocolate creams, and they put on their hazelnut. Don't that sound even? Hazelnut. Sound like you need to pay extra for it. And do you know that's just another word for filbert? F-I-L-B-E-R-T. I used to have an uncle, Filbert. He stayed in do you know what Baker, Louisiana is? It's just north of Baton Rouge. It's on the way to Zachary. Before you cross the border at south of the border and you go up to Gloucester and Liberty, Mississippi. And if you go over at Busy Corner, Mississippi, it's a grocery store there. And they still sell absolutely the most perfect purple soda water and orange soda water. And they had a peach soda water. And sometimes me and Watusa get in the car, we just drive out to Busy Corner, Mississippi, and we look where Aunt Zelma used to live, and we holler, hey girl, and Aunt Rovilla stayed up there, and Uncle Delos, and it was just beautiful territory. I mean, well, it's ignorant. It's all tore up now. And you know what? They got black people living in mobile homes in Amick County, Mississippi. I never saw that before. You know, black people usually shy away from trailer houses. They prefer the more council housing, or as we call it here in the United States, the projects. But in Mississippi, black people love them trailer houses. They get them little shoe boxes. They do it all right. They put the satellite dish on there, and they just deregistrate. They don't pay no more taxes. They get off the grids. As we said, have you ever went off the grids? Girl, I tried that one time. I put my baby, my baby, Phoenicia, her baby daddy's sister, and I put her social security number on all my phone bills and electricity, everything. It was cute for a while until I got that notice in the mail from the Justice of the Peace. Oh, bless his heart. I hope you get over that flesh-eating bacteria. But well, you tell your mama I said how she do it. Tell her next time I get up to Mississippi, I'm gonna show up, meet her at the class reunion. We're gonna meet her behind Bus Burger, honey. I know that's right. Oh Lord, 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 Lord. Church was hard today. I did not care for it. I started writing down what the pastor was saying, and then about the fifth sentence in, I got mad, just thrown it down on the floor, and I didn't put nothing in the collection plate. That's right, no justice, no tips. No, but for real, God is good.
I know that's right.
Bubba and Tody Smith, both from Beaumont. Thank you, Steve Perricone. Steve Perricone's our fact checker today. He knows all things Beaumont. I'm surprised I haven't received a hate mail from Eddie yet, because he hates when we talk about things, unless it's New Orleans. He hates stuff like this. Do you have that song from Paul Noyola? I told Paul Noyola, who came on the Palm Beach trip, that I wanted him to do a Michael Berry Show song. He said, what do you want me? I said, just whatever you want to do, just have some fun with it. Do you have it? You haven't heard it? I sent it to you. All right, I'll play it for you in a minute. Joel, go ahead.
Early 1960s, Texas City, Byron and Dyron Talbert and Charlie Dupree. They were ahead of my brother in school. But they all wound up playing college ball in Texas, and I think the Talbert brothers did go pro at some point, maybe for the Cowboys and the Redskins.
Huh. Well, we were talking about Little Joe Washington yesterday. And, oh, you know what? It is set, the player from 72 wasn't Wooster. Wooster was the 60s. It was Little Joe Washington's who it was. From Lincoln High School, his dad was the coach there. Remember Little Joe Washington? That's before your time. He was a slot back for the Redskins. He was a superstar in the NFL, but he was something above that. I don't know what's above superstar, but that's what he was at Lincoln High School. Holy smokes. You got to realize, when they first integrated the schools, black schools played black schools and white schools played white schools, and you did not mix them. When you first had the white schools playing the black schools and then the integration, that was a sea change in sports. And as a little white kid growing up in Orange, Texas, I knew it. Now, my eyes were bulging watching sports transform before my very eyes. And today, to have such an observation would be considered racist, but it wasn't. I was just a little kid growing up. And I remember going into the locker room with my pawpaw, and he drove the school bus for different high schools around the area. And it was the last ball game that Hebert ever played. And so he would, you know, go in there and talk to the coach, and the coach would tell him, you know, bring the bus around at this time or whatever. It was an all-black team, right? It must have been about 75, 76, about 5 years old. And I went walking in that locker room at about 5 years old. And, yeah, that was a shock. Little five-year-old Michael had never been in a grown-up locker room. And when you're 5 years old, 18-year-old young men are grown-ups. Know what I'm saying? It was a shocker. It was a shocker. Jehu, you're up.
Hey, Michael.
What you got?
I was going to second that story with Marcus Dupree. Willie Morris wrote a book about him called Courting a Marcus Dupree. And pretty fascinating. Goes in more depth about how he got taken advantage of by kind of family friends who turned into his agent and gave him some terrible information. But it was Philadelphia, Mississippi is where.
Yeah, that's it. Philadelphia, Mississippi. Good call, Jehu. Jehu lives in, where do you live outside of Austin?
We're in New Braunfels now.
New Braunfels. I was at a John Evans concert with Willie Braun at Polyester Wednesday in Austin about 10 years ago, and Jehu came strolling up, said, I'm not going to bother you, but I know who you are, and I'm a big listener. His wife works at that boot company on Lamar that has that big boot out front. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that Marcus Dupree story, there was something about that that I was going to share. That's a good 30 for 30 if you hadn't seen it. George, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. This is George in Houston. I was born and raised in Southern California, and I went to a Catholic high school, Juniper Serra High School, and they had a pitcher there that has about 6 foot 3, 180 pounds. It was all his right arm. And that dude could throw like you couldn't believe.
Who was it?
The only thing is, Tom Pavola was his name. Tom Pavola. And the thing is, he got leukemia, man. He didn't make it out of high school.
Oh, man. What year did he come out?
57. 57 was the year he would have graduated.
5'7"?
5'7". That's correct. Okay. Yes.
Okay, because if it was 67, Pastorini would know him. Because he went to Santa Clara University. But he was All-American this, All-American that, coming out of high school. Kathy, what you got?
How about Norman Boulash? She graduated from Lamarck High School in 65 when Lamarck went to state. And he started playing for the Baltimore Colts with Johnny Unitas. He was the running back in 71. Norman Boulash was MVP of the Super Bowl. The Baltimore Colts built. They.
Michael Berry Show.
We'll be right back.
look so crazy.
Girl, cut these lights down. I just got back from the ophthalmologist. You know what, optical, they put these drops in my eye. Everything's so bright up in here, girl. Like the first time I got the Holy Ghost at my Holy Olive Second Baptist Zion Church of God, I was struck blind.
Is this a new church you have found?
No, it's this new Vietnamese thing on 16th Street. Obamacare paid for it. And I went in there, and the man, little Vietnamese, put his eyes all up on my side of my head. And he had me read a chart. And he said, according to this, you legally blind. I said, well, honey, check again, because I can't read. I walked out there with a prescription for some Coke bottle glasses. I couldn't see a damn thing. I throwed them in the trash.
What color he say your eyes was?
Same as my birthstone, emerald. Of course, I had on them contact lenses. I bought at Packy Mart for $3. Girl.
This message brought to you by the Affordable Care Act.
No, wait, wait.
I've got my eyes on you, so best beware where you roam. I've got my eyes on you, so don't stray too far from home. Incidentally, I've set my spies on you. I'm checking all you do from A to Z. So, darling, just be wise. Keep your eyes on me.
Bill, you're up.
Yeah, I've got a few of them, but the main one I called about was Stephenville High School, 1992, Brandon Stewart.
Let me tell you something. Art Briles is after Bum Phillips, the best coach to ever coach high school and college and have the level of success he did. There's nobody that ever did that, and Bum's numbers don't even hold up to that.
Yeah, at that time I was living in Joshua, Texas, and we played him. And we did an onside kick to start the game and then kicked a 50-yard field goal, and we were up 3-0, and I think they ended up beating us like 58-3. And then I've got the all-timer that I knew when I was growing up. I was just a kid at the time, but Kenneth Hall, because I'm from Sugarland, and unbelievable, all the stories about him.
Well, I will fight anybody over the Art Briles story. I know they ran him out from Baylor, and I know some bad things happened, but I will tell you this. As a coach, maybe he was running thug you like Miami did for all those years, but as a coach in high school, you look at what Stephenville did during his years of coaching there. I mean, they ran up numbers like Westlake, but he didn't have nearly the talent. And then he went to the University of Houston, and he was the original of those. When UH made its big turnaround and had a series of great coaches come through there, Art Briles, Kevin Sumlin, what was old Gooberhead that would kiss the players on the mouth? Herman. Yeah, that bad guy. What was his? I can't remember his first name, and now I don't even want to remember his name. Tom Herman. Yeah, thanks. Went to UT and just flubbed it. Oh, man. You know, I'm not going to say it. Anyway, so Art Briles was a winner at Stephenville. He was a winner. He was legendary at Stephenville. And then to go to college at University of Houston and make that program into a dominant program like it had not been for over a decade, and then go to Baylor. Baylor was vying for a national championship. The two best teams in college football out of the state of Texas for about a five-year period were TCU and Baylor, not UT and A&M. And for you to attract that kind of talent, you can't recruit against UT and A&M. You got to be a better coach. That was when RG3 came through there. Those Baylor teams were some kind of fun to watch. Larry, what you got?
We got Len Herford for Conroe in 1973-75, and then Brock Cartwright for Conroe in 98.
Somebody else said Brock Cartwright. Where did he go?
Conroe.
No, where did he go to college?
Oh, he ended up, he went to Tyler Junior College, then K-State, and then he played special teams for the Redskins for a few years.
Oh, I'm glad you brought up Conroe. Have you been to the Honor Cafe?
Yes, sir, I have.
Let me just tell you a real quick story. I've been meaning to tell this. So both the Latrell boys, Morgan and Marcus separately, had been telling me, hey, man, you have got to come out. You have got to come out to Conroe to this place called the Honor Cafe. Oh, my goodness. You are going to be blown away. It's this big, fat Marine. He's big. And I don't mean just fat like he's got a big old belly. Like his forearms are like big old hunks of meat, right? This guy has created a living museum to veterans. People in Conroe, they only do breakfast and lunch, and I think dinner on Friday. People in Conroe go in there, and if you're a Gold Star parent, you lost your son in the line of duty, you can bring anything you want from your kid and put it on the wall. You are walking around and looking at a living museum for young men all the way up. I went in between the two shows, and it just blew me away. The food's phenomenal. The food's phenomenal, but a lot of people can make phenomenal food. The concept, they got a lending library, all these books about different battles. I always wanted to do a lending library at the RCC. They got a lending library of thousands of volumes. They've got all these tributes to veterans. They got stuff I've never seen in my life from every conflict. But mostly, it's veterans that are in there eating. I hope everyone who is married to a veteran, has a child who's a veteran, a parent who's a veteran, or is a veteran, will go by and support this guy. His name is Chris Sadler. You can't miss him. He looks like a Marine. He looks like a guy that was in the Marines 10, 15 years ago. He's a big old fat guy that can outrun you and beat your ass and will do it in a second. Or he'll give you a free steak because you served in Iraq or something. I don't know. I didn't say that's not the deal. But go check this place out. It's called The Honor Cafe. It's in Conroe. Conroe has a quaint little downtown. You ever seen the Conroe downtown?
My big health focus has been drink more water, get basic exercise, reduce your stress, and perhaps most important, better sleep and more sleep. You don't want to lay in bed where you can't sleep. I use thetrustedlab.com. Thetrustedlab.com comes directly to your home. I don't want to be involved with addictive drugs and medicine and all that. Completely healthy, completely natural, and I get results. Thetrustedlab.com. I have a buddy named Ray Breyers, and he owns a company called The Pipe Yard Inc., INC.com. And if you have a project that needs carbon steel pipe, he stocks everything you need. New surplus, secondary, you name it. Rat hole, mouse hole, conductor casing, pipe pile, sign pole, structural, road bores, dredging. If you're buying or selling, you got an abandoned pipeline, wherever, he'll buy it. ThePipeYardInc.com, 409-788-PIPE, 409-788-PIPE.
It's a nice little downtown. It's about it's a couple blocks down the street, whatever that street is, Main Street, something street, Picadillo, what? Pacific, is it Pacific? Is that what it says? Yeah, it's just about three blocks from the City Hall. And if everybody in North Houston knows about this place and goes there for breakfast and lunch, he'll make it. He's been at it for a few years. It's a struggle. The restaurant business is a struggle. We need a place like this. So before you go to some national franchise, his prices are not bad. Before you go to some national franchise, go over to the Honor Cafe and ask for Chris Sadler. I love what this guy's doing.
With his finger on the pulse, the king of Ding continues on The Michael Berry Show.
Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day? Were you in the yard with your wife and children, or working on some stage in L.A.? Did you stand there in shock at the sight of that black smoke rising against that blue sky? Did you shout out in anger and fear for your neighbor, or did you just sit down and cry? Did you weep for the children who lost their dear loved ones, pray for the ones who don't know? Did you rejoice for the people who walked from the rubble and sobbed for the ones left below? Did you burst out with pride for the red, white, and blue, and the heroes who died just doing what they do? Did you look up to heaven for some kind of answer, and look at yourself and what really matters? I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran.
September 11th, 2001. Twin Towers came down. Let's Roll took a plane out of the air and crashed it to avoid further damage. The Pentagon was severely hit. And some young men on that day determined that they were going to go punish the people who had did the, who had done this to us. On June 28th, 2005, Operation Red Wings, with an S on the end, was undertaken, also known as the Battle of Abbas Ghar, in the Kunar province of Afghanistan, on the slopes of a mountain called Sotolo Sar, about 20 miles west of Asadabad. Four Navy SEALs rappelled quickly out of a Chinook helicopter called Fast Roping. And shortly thereafter, some goat herders stumbled upon those four men. Their names were Danny Dietz, Michael Murphy, Matthew Axelson, and a young man from Willis named Marcus Luttrell. As you know, if you've read the book and or seen the movie, a firefight ensued. Three of the four were killed. Marcus Luttrell dragged himself, it is estimated, somewhere between 5 and 7 miles until he was taken in by Afghan villagers and eventually rescued and removed from the situation. He is a very consistent diary writer, and he reduced to writing what happened. Had he not, we wouldn't know about the heroism, the suffering, the sacrifice of that moment. Today's a good day, if you haven't in a while seen Lone Survivor, to go back and watch it. I got to tell you, I'd heard stories from Marcus and some of the other SEALs he's introduced me to about SEAL training and what they go through. But it's, the movie does a fantastic job, and of course Marcus was involved, as was his brother Morgan, in the making of that movie and making it as realistic as possible, and that you partially die in the process. It's part of understanding your limits in becoming a Navy SEAL and becoming a frogman. One of my favorite scenes and one of the happier scenes is where they have to remember the SEAL creed. You remember that?
Been around the world twice, talked to everyone once, seen two whales in the three world fairs, and I even know a man in Thailand with a wooden I push more Peter, more sweeter, and more completer. than any other Peter Pusher around. I'm a hard-bodied, hairy-chested, rootin', tootin', shootin', parachutin', demolition, double-cap, crimpin' frogman. There ain't nothing I can't do, no sky too high, no sea too rough, no too tough. Learned a lot of lessons in my life. Never shoot a large caliber man with a small caliber bullet. Drive all kinds of trucks. 2x, 4x, 6x. Those big motherfuckers that bend and go when you step on the brakes. Anything in life worth doing is worth overdoing. Moderation's for cowards. I'm a lover, I'm a fighter, I'm a UDT Navy SEAL diver. I'll wine, dine, intertwine, and sneak out the back door when the refueling is done. So if you're feeling froggy, then you better jump, because this frogman's been there, done that, and is going back for more. Cheers, boys.
At the end of the movie, there is a scene where Marcus Luttrell is being lifted out of that Afghan village. And I got to say, Marky Mark did a phenomenal job becoming Marcus Luttrell. And I think Marcus and Morgan's role in that movie throughout the process, they're actually in the movie. If you've seen it, you know that. But the book was so detailed, and the movie maker was so determined to get it right. And Marky Mark put so much effort into paying tribute to those guys properly. But it's still to this day, 17 years later, that last scene where he's quoting, where he's telling his story, but it actually comes from the diary, still gets me every time.
I died up on that mountain. There is no question. A part of me will forever be up on that mountain dead, as my brothers died. But there is a part of me that lived because of my brothers. Because of them, I am still alive. And I can never forget. But no matter how much it hurts, how dark it gets, or how far you fall. You are never out of the fight.
And I think about how many men have come through the doors of Camp Hope suffering the wounds, mental wounds, of PTSD who served in Iraq and Afghanistan. And Joe Biden leaves $80 billion worth of assets and lets 13 of our service members die. How dishonorable and disgusting.
Hello, everyone. This is your Action News reporter with all the news that is news across the nation on the scene at the supermarket. There seems to have been some disturbance here. Pardon me, sir. Did you see what happened?
Yeah, I did. I was standing over by the tomatoes, and here he come, running through the pole beans, through the fruits and vegetables, naked as a jaybird. And I hollered over to Ethel. I said, "Don't look, Ethel!" And it's too late. She'd already been in since.
He comes.
Boogie there, boogie there.
There he goes.
Boogie there, boogie there. Oh, yes, they call him the street.
Look at that, look at that.
Fastest thing on 2 feet.
Look at that, look at that.
He's just as proud as he can be. For his anatomy, he gon' give us a peek. Oh, yes, they call him the street.
Look at that, look at that.
He likes to show off his physique.
Look at that, look at that.
If there's an audience to be found, he'll be streaking it round, inviting public critique.
Pardon me, sir, did you see what happened?
Yeah, I did. I was just in here getting my car checked, and he disappeared out of the traffic. Come streaking around the grease right there. Didn't have nothing on but a smock. I looked in there, and Ethel was getting her cold right. I hollered, "Don't look, Ethel!" And it's too late. She'd already been mooned. Flashed her right there in front of the shop. So.
He ain't good.
Look at it, look at it. Boogity, boogity.
He's just in the mood to ride in the new.
Oh, yes, they call him the street.
Boogity, boogity.
He likes to turn the other cheek.
Boogity, boogity.
He's always making the news. When just
we might should turn it down, Ramon. Because in a minute, Ethel's going to join in. That's
once again, your Action
right.
News reporter in the booth at the gym covering the disturbance at the basketball playoff. Pardon me, sir. Did you see what happened?
Yeah, thief. Hey, Tom, I was just going down there to get Ethel a snow cone. Here he come, right out of the cheap seats. Dribbling. Right down the middle of the court. Didn't have on nothing but a PA. Made a hook shot and got out through the concession stand. I hollered up at Ethel. I said, don't look, Ethel! Too late. She'd already got a free shot. Grand stand. Right there in front of home.
See, that's the part I can't abide, is Ethel joining in on the streaking herself. It was on this day in 1974 that Ray Stevens released The Streak. I was too young to remember streaking as a phenomenon. But I go back and look at a lot of primary coverage footage of sporting events. And I have to tell you, I find it hilarious. It was such a phenomenon at the time that when Ray Stevens released The Streak, there were already 15 other songs about streaking, and there would end up being over 40. How far did Ray Stevens come in his career? What a dare. He wrote and recorded this, what Johnny Cash ended up making famous. No, he didn't. Chris Christopherson wrote it. I'm sorry. Chris Christopherson. You got to remember, Misty was such a big hit. That was his, you know, that Ray Stevens realized he wasn't going to make it as a, he wasn't going to compete with. Misty was a big hit for him, but that was a crowded space. He started doing these novelty concept songs, and he absolutely killed it. He bought up half of Nashville. I took a tour with him. It was like, on that, on that, on that, on that, on that. He owns the building that iHeart is in, and it's a three-story building. Next door to his building, both of them are on hard corners. Next door to his building, which is has a recording studio in it. People rent out that. Ray Stevens has made more money in music than almost anybody you can imagine, because unlike the artist who's mostly just getting paid an appearance fee to show up at a concert, Ray Stevens owned the front end, the back end, the recording studio, the publishing rights, all the mailbox money. That guy is such a phenomenal businessman. In much the same way Oprah is, but he was ahead of his time. Bill, you're on the Michael Berry Show.
I was dad got a transfer from Norfolk, Virginia to Houston. We bought a house on 1960, and the Champions Forest is Greenwood Forest, but help people realize where it was. And there was two stoplights between there and 45 on Kirkendall and Steubner. And I remember in 73, so I guess I was 12. We got some friends, and I think there may have been a small amount of Boone's Farm involved. Anyway, shed the clothes and started streaking down 1960. It was very, very popular at the time. I
think. How old were you?
I think 12. I mean, I don't know. We all deal with moving differently. I think that's very traumatic for kids when you move them. And I was trying to make new friends and experimented with a couple other things in sixth grade. But I remember streaking, and I just thought, oh, this is crazy. It was a night, my man. It was a night. You know, I'm not that proud. I love that Ray Stevens song. I remember that. That was just so much fun. But anyway, that's my streaking story.
That's a good story.
I don't know if I want my kids doing it, but it was fun back then. That was as belligerent and wild as we got, I think. We wrapped a few houses with toilet paper, but that was about it.
I got to tell you, when I see a guy go down on the field and I start running, and the security guards try to catch him. I think these guys must be coked up or at least amphetamined up.
And
it's like they have superhuman speed. It's, I guess, the adrenaline is pumping and the security guard. But I will watch and root for them like you cannot imagine. And then when they're caught, they're absolutely gassed, right? They are exhausted, and they're caught, and now the fun is over. But you can tell it is a thrill ride like nothing else when they get out on a field and start running, and the cops are coming after them. And it's embarrassing for the cops or the security guards because they're usually in terrible, terrible shape. And to watch the smile on the person's face, I don't know. I find that must watch. I cannot. If I'm at an event, I don't go to sporting events anymore, but I used to. And when I would, I'd root for that. And if we, you know, it's when you least expect it, right? It's always in the middle of an inning. When you least expect it, that guy, he goes out there and he's sprinting at full speed and he's butt naked, or even if he's not butt naked, it's just hilarious.
Sorry, we're going streaking through the quad and into the gymnasium. Come on, everybody. Come on, Snoop. Super loop, super. No, it's cool. I'm cool. Bring your green hat. Let's go. Come on, everybody. We're going.
You remember when the ladies are driving down the street and they go, look at this fat guy. He's streaking. And they realize it's her husband.
For years, I've been bragging on the team at Allied Outdoor Solutions in Houston for the beautiful work they do to make your outdoor area, your backyard, look like a resort. Well, their business has just grown and grown organically because they do great work. Your walkways, the area around your pool, your outdoor kitchen, all of that. AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. And now, over the years, it's taken 20 years, they're now in Austin, Dallas, and San Antonio. AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. 844-846-1010. Call them at 844-846-1010.